रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेद श्री रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः. युद्धकांड चैप्टर नंबर 59. रामा शैटर्स द क्राउन ऑफ रावण. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. When the general Prahastha was thus slain by the commander of the monkey hosts, the Rakshasa troops, endowed with the speed of the raging seas and armed with every kind of dreadful weapon, were routed and, seeking the presence of Ravana, told him how Prahastha had met his death at the hands of the son of Agni. Never even in his wildest dreams had Ravana thought that such a thing could happen. Hence he turned to the Rakshasa warriors that stood around him like the heavenly heroes around the throne of Indra and cried, "Look, our commander Prahastha is no ordinary warrior. He could make Indra cry for mercy. Now he and the countless Rakshasa troops lie slain by these wretched monkeys. Here is a lesson for us. We should not underrate the foe. I shall myself go out to fight and come back victorious, consuming in the fire of my arrows Rama, Lakshmana and the monkey hosts, even as a forest fire burns down the trees." And he ascended his car that blazed like a flame. Horses of the noblest breed were yoked to it. Its splendor illumined all the quarters. When the lord of the Rakshasas went out to battle, the sound of conches, drums, kettle drums, war drums, tom-toms and other martial instruments, the slaps of warriors on their shoulders, their defiant cries and shouts, and the solemn music of purificatory religious chants filled the atmosphere. The lord of Lanka went forth crowned with the blessings of elders and the praises of his subjects. Surrounded by Rakshasa braves with bodies hard like mountains, able to change at will their forms like cloud banks, their eyes blazing like fierce flames, Ravana resembles the Lord Rudra, the leader of Asuras, surrounded by his hosts of Bhutas. Then Ravana, the Shining Ones, came out of the city and found the monkey forces armed with trees and mountains, dreadful to look at and roaring like the ocean and the rain clouds. At the sight of Rakshasa forces marching furiously against him, Rama's arms grew longer with the ardor for battle. The goddess of heroism shone forth from him. As he stood there in the midst of the boundless armies, his eye fell on Vibhishana, who knew the strength and weaknesses of the Rakshasa warriors, and he said, "O brother of Ravana, this vast Rakshasa host, who leads it? It is furnished with banners, flags, bows, tridents, spears, and other weapons of war. Elephants, huge like mountains, and fearless warriors grace it. It seems impossible to rout it." Vibhishana, brave like Indra, then described in detail the names and valor of the Rakshasa heroes. "See you there a warrior with a huge body and his face red like the rising sun? He is seated on the shoulders of the rutting elephant, and the weight of his body causes his mount to tremble. He is Akampana. And that other warrior there, whose car flies like the lion banner, and who whirls his mighty bow aloft like the rainbow in the sky out of his sheer strength, he is none other than Indrajit, the firstborn son of Ravana. His strength is like that of an elephant in rut. His front teeth are deformed and project dreadfully. Thanks to the boons he has won from Brahma, he can make himself invisible at will. That warrior there, whose body is huge like the mountains, Vindhya, Mahendra and Astagiri, he is Atikai. He twirls between his fingers his enormous bow, and he comes towards us in a car drawn by 1,000 horses. Though he has not the magic art of Indra, he is a more mighty hero. And look there where the other Rakshasa stands with eyes red like the rising sun. He rides a noble elephant, and his dreadful roaring harmonizes with the sounds of the bells on his mount. He is Mahodhar. Yonder comes Pisacha, mounted on a horse adorned with priceless ornaments and trappings. He whirls aloft a spear blazing with splendor. Mark his course that shines like a mountain covered with clouds at sunset, and his speed like rolling thunder. Again, cast your eyes upon another renowned warrior that stands there, Trishiras by name. He is mounted upon a bull that looks like the mountain on feet. In his hands shines a trident with sharp points, blinding like lightning and swifter than the thunderbolt. And there comes Kumbha, like a huge cloud in shape. His chest is broad and high and hard. There is a serpent on his banner, and he waves aloft his bow, eager for battle. Nikumbha is there, armed with an iron-bound rod, inlaid with golds and gems, and emitting fire and smoke. The most prominent among the Rakshasa hosts, he does the most dreadful deeds. Narantaka drives towards us with lightning speed in his car, shining like the flaming fire and furnished with bows, swords, arrows and other weapons of war, and with a fine banner. Finding none to stand up against him, he vents his anger by battling with the mountains. And last, there comes one who has curbed the pride and strength of the gods themselves. Round him crowd elementals with rolling eyes and faces like tigers, camels, serpents, stags, horses, and other dreadful shapes. Above his head is held a large moon-like white umbrella with delicate wires. Seated beneath it is the ruler of the countless millions of Rakshasas, like Rudra surrounded by his elementals. His face is lit up with the luster of his noble crown and earrings. His body is huge like the Himalayas or the Vindhyas. He is the lord of Lanka who has vanquished Indra, Yama and the other regions of the quarters. Behold him in his radiance like the blazing sun. Hearing this, Rama said, Vibhishana, what brilliance! Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, is glorious to behold. One's eyes are blinded as they gaze at his, even as they are by the sun in his noonday splendor. I see that his body is enveloped in luster. I have never seen such splendor about the gods or Danava warriors. Everyone in his rank is of mountainous bulk. Mountains are his missiles. With keen weapons, he comes towards us, surrounded by his chosen warriors like Yama in the midst of his terrible elementals. It is good that this sinful wretch has come within my ken today. Till now, I have controlled within myself my anger at the abduction of Sita. Now I shall turn it upon him. Raghuvira bent his redoubtable bow, twanged it with a dreadful noise, fit to it a most powerful arrow, and with Lakshmana by his side, waited for Ravana. Then Ravana turned towards the Rakshasas around him and said, cast off all care and guard most carefully the inner fortifications, the gates and towers of Lanka and the quarters for the troops built on either side. If our foe should come to know that you are here with me, he would make his way into Lanka, subdue the handful that we have left there and gain control of the city. He ordered them away, and like a huge whale that makes its way lightly through the surging seas, he moved through the monkey hosts. Sugriva saw him coming to destroy the monkeys with a bright bow and arrows in hand, like the lord of death with his noose of time. He tore up a mountain top, rushed towards the Rakshasa and threw it at him. Ravana beheld it as it came towards him with his trees and torrents and cut it to bits with his gold-bound arrows. Hissing like a huge serpent, he chose an arrow with which to slay the king of monkeys. It was swift like the Vajra of Mahendra. It shone like the lord of fire emitting a shower of sparks around. It could destroy the universe like the lord of death himself. This shaft, like the Shakti sent by Lord Subramanya against the Mount Krauncha, pierced Sugriva through and through. Unable to bear the agony, the Monkey King lost his senses and fell on the earth with a woeful cry. The Rakshasas roared with joy as they saw him stretched unconscious on the ground. Gavai, Sudhamshtra, Rishabha, Jyotirmukha and Nala at once sprang at Ravana, increasing the bulk of their bodies and uprooting mountains for their weapons. But he foiled their strokes with keen arrows and pierced them with other shafts curiously bound in gold. They were dazed and fell upon the ground with frightful contortions of hands and feet, and Ravana hit the monkey hosts under heaps of arrows. struck by his arrows and unable to bear the torture. Some were howling dreadfully. Others whimpered under the strokes of another weapon, fear. Some crashed down to the earth by the mere impact of the speed of the Rakshasa ruler. The rangers of the wood shouted in terror, since they had never before beheld such foes and weapons. But all took refuge in Sri Rama, to whom the worlds looked for protection. Raghava, who knew the mystery of this doctrine, and who is the only one to whom such a surrender is due, grasped his mighty bow, strung it, and confronted Ravana. When a person comes to us in the grip of sorrow and danger, we are bound to give him prompt relief. Hence, Raghunatha was afraid that Lakshmana would perhaps march forth to battle without asking leave of him, and he himself set out armed with bow and arrows. As Rama hastened forward to save those who looked to him for protection, Lakshmana, with folded hands, barred his way and addressed a prayer to him. Brother, it is but right that you and no one else should slay this wicked wretch who dared to carry away your beloved wife. And it is but child's play to you. But it is not seemly that you, endowed with a boundless strength and prowess, should do battle with this puny Rakshasa. Give me leave and let me slay him. And to him replied Rama of unfailing prowess, well, go if you will. Do not think lightly of your foe. Be as cautious as you keep to fight. Ravana is a mighty warrior. His prowess seems wonderful. He seems to choose one weapon, but in reality chooses another. He seems about to fit to his bow, but fits another. He seems to discharge this, but in fact shoots another. The fire of his wrath will consume to ashes all the beings in the three worlds. So, mark well his defects and rid yourself of your own defects. Protect yourself well by a bow and eye. Lakshmana embraced his brother, circumambulated and saluted him with reverence, and marched forth to fight armed with the consent of Rama. And there he found Ravana bending his shining bow, covering and decimating the monkey forces with his arrowy showers. Meanwhile, Anjaneya ran up to him and cried, how unfair! Here am I, your humble servant. How could you come out like this? He thrust aside the flights of arrows and sprang at Ravana. He drew near his car, raised his right hand and shouted menacingly, you and your Rakshasas are put to rout the Devas, Danavas, Gandharvas and the Yakshas. But do you know that you will meet with death at the hands of the monkeys? It is a fault to have allowed you to live so long. Look here, like a lofty tree with five branches, my right hand will drink your life's breath. And to him replied Ravana, his eyes red with anger and laughing like thunder in his peerless prowess, you monkey, strike quick, do not hesitate. You desire the glory of having struck Ravana in fight. Why should I deny you this? I shall gauge your strength thereby and then kill you with just the force needed and no more. But Marathi answered, you wicked wretch, killing me can wait. It is yet to come, but it is a fact, is it not, that I slew your son Aksha? Then Ravana, the shining one, struck the son of Vayu a terrible blow on his chest. At this, Hanuman shivered again and again, and then stood motionless for the space of a muhurta. But the most intelligent monkey recovered courage and gave Ravana an angry blow with his fist. Ravana shivered as a lofty mountain does rock during an earthquake. Seeing this, sages, monkeys, siddhas, gods and asuras raised shouts of joy. Then Ravana, with his pain subsided a little, cried, well done, monkey. I admire your prowess. You are a worthy foe of myself. But Anjaneya was sorely disappointed and cried, I should curse my valor. You're still alive even after being struck by me? How can my valor be pleased when it has not killed you? You strike me once again. Let me see. Do not boast in vain. I shall dispatch you to the world of Yama with my fist. Wicked fellow, you have survived because of my carelessness. You won't escape now. Ravana heard these words and his eyes turned red on account of wrath. He folded his right fist and dealt a severe blow on the chest of Marathi with all his strength. Being struck again on the chest, Hanuman shook violently. Noticing the mighty Ajaneya standing a little confused, Ravana drove his chariot towards Nila. The mighty and valiant Ravana struck Nila at his vital points with arrows resembling dreadful serpents and caused him intense suffering. Nila got annoyed and held back the arrows with one hand, plucked a mountain peak with the other hand, and threw it on Ravana. Hanuman, who excelled in his splendor, intellect, and valor, got rid of his fatigue in the meanwhile. Getting interested in the fight, he noticed Ravana fighting with Nila. With wrath, he said, "Oh, vile Rakshasa, I am letting you off this time because you have been fighting with some other person." Ravana pierced to pieces the block of stone that was falling on him with 7 sharp arrows. Nila noticed that and struck him with many flower trees plucked together with their roots. The demon chief made them to pieces with his shafts and pierced the body of Nila with a shower of arrows. Nila remained unperturbed by the shower of arrows like a mountain, contracted his form and jumped on the tip of the banner of Ravana. Ravana became infuriated on seeing that. Nila roared. He was moving from the banner to the tip of his bow and again to the top of his crown. Nila was quite at ease. Rama, Lakshmana and Hanuman wondered at it. Ravana admired the agility and skill of the monkey. He took up a blazing magic weapon, wondrous in its might, dedicated to the Lord of Fire. The monkeys, observing that Ravana was confused by the quick movement of Nila, shouted for joy. But this only added to the confusion of Ravana, who remained for a while lost in thought. Then he chose his arrow, chanted over it the charm of the Lord of Fire, turned his eyes towards Nila, who sat on top of the banner, and cried, "Monkey, with your speed and skill, you seem to take any form at will, as if by magic. Your wiles are all in vain. This arrow in my hand will drink up your life breath. Save yourself if you can." With this threat, he discharged the magic weapon of Agni at the head of Nila. The commander of the monkey troops, hit in the chest by the magic missile, felt his whole body burning and sank to earth in agony. But, being endowed with a great luster and by the grace of his father, the Lord of Fire, he escaped death. He fell on his knees, resting on the ground. When he saw Nila stretched senseless on the earth, Ravana was afire with the lust of battle and drove his car rumbling like a black rain cloud to where Lakshmana was. He thrust aside Sugriva and others. He shone like a raging fire in the midst of the troops. He bent his bow, strung it, twanged the string till the earth trembled and waved it over his head. Lakshmana of matchless might said, "King of Rakshasas, these monkeys are no match for you. Come to me, do not go elsewhere." Ravana heard his words, his lion-like roar and the terrible twang of his bow. He drew near and cried in wrath, "With confused mind and seeking your own death, you have come within my ken. Good, very good. Behold, I will cut you to pieces with my arrows and dispatch you to the halls of Yama." Unperturbed by these words of Ravana, as he roared, exposing his deformed white teeth, Lakshmana said, "Ruler of the Rakshasas, the truly great do not brag, but you are the prince of wicked wretches. You trumpet your empty vaunts. Know I not your strength and fame, your valor and prowess? You are the mighty hero, are you not? Who in the disguise of a holy ascetic carried away Sita when she was all alone? Here I have come now, bow in hand, to face you in battle. Let me see what you can do. No empty bragging, please." Ravana, infuriated, struck Lakshmana with 7 keen arrows, and the latter cut them to pieces, which made the Rakshasa madder yet. He shot other sharp arrows at Lakshmana. The prince kept up a ceaseless shower of arrows upon the Rakshasa and cut down the arrows of Ravana with his Ardhachandra, Bhalla, Karani and other weapons. The Lord of Lanka admired the skill of Lakshmana and employed many new weapons against him. Lakshmana discharged again some arrows of boundless potency at the Rakshasa with the intent to slay him. He was sharp, swift and strong, like Vajra, and bright like fire. But Ravana cut them down lightly and struck Lakshmana on his face with an arrow blazing like the fire of dissolution, a gift to him from Brahma. Then Lakshmana let fall his bow and shivered. Then recovering himself, he broke the bow of the Rakshasa king and hit him with three arrows. The force of its impact caused intolerable pain to the Rakshasa, and in his turn he shook dreadfully. He came back to himself soon, and finding himself with his bow riddled by the arrows of the foe and covered with blood, fat all over, the lord of Lanka took up a mighty weapon named Shakti that had been given to him in the past by Brahma. The monkey troops trembled at the sight of it. Ravana sent it blazing like smokeless fire at Lakshmana with the intent to slay him outright. The beloved brother of Rama struck it with many an arrow, emitting lambent flames, but nevertheless the Shakti hit Lakshmana's chest and pierced him through. The young prince, endowed with matchless might, was struck down by the Shakti of Ravana and staggered senseless, surrounded by flames. At once Ravana sprang forward and tried to lift him with his 20 hands. The Himalayas, the standard of comparison for firmness and fortitude, may perhaps be lifted up, for Ravana had once displaced Kailasa, a portion of it. One may uproot with one's arms the Mount Mandra that was found fit to churn the ocean of milk, the most mighty of its kind, for the Lord of Lanka had defeated many times the Asuras and Devas that churned it. One may uproot even Meru that shines as the central jewel of all the lofty mountains of the earth. For once, Lord Vayu crashed down its top and it fell into the sea that surrounds Lanka. And that Lord Vayu was mortally afraid of Ravana. It is not difficult to tear up the world 50 kotis of yojanas in length. For Hiranyaksha had once before carried away under his arms a portion of it, the earth, and he was but a previous incarnation of Kumbhakarna. It is possible to bear aloft the three worlds and the gods that rule it, for the son of Ravana had defeated the lord of gods and thrown him in prison. But Lakshmana, the younger brother of Bharata, who was younger than Rama, was an essence of Mahavishnu himself. Ravana could not move or lift him up. With but two hands, the Rakshasa shook Mount Kailasa, but even with 20 hands, he could not even move Lakshmana. The ruler of the Rakshasa and all his armies together could do nothing there. Lakshmana, pierced in the heart by Ravana's Shakti, granted to him by Brahma, reminded himself of his true nature as Vishnu Tattva, or a ray of Mahavishnu that passeth thought and speech. Then Anjaneya, beside himself with wrath, sprang upon Ravana and gave him a punch on his chest with his clenched fist, hard as adamant. The force was so terrible that the Rakshasa king fell kneeling on the floor on his car and shook like a leaf. Blood flowed from his eyes, mouth and ears. Dazed for a while, he leant motionless on the floor of the car. Then he swooned away. After some time, he came back to himself. Still, he could not stand firmly on his feet. Seeing the mighty Ravana lying senseless, the sages, monkeys, gods and Indra shouted in joy. Hanuman gently lifted the body of Lakshmana, who was sorely afflicted by Ravana, and placed it before Lord Rama. Lakshmana, whom Ravana and his retinue could not even move an inch, was easily defeated by this extraordinary monkey because of his friendship and devotion. Finding that Lakshmana was unconquerable in battle, the weapon Shakti let him go and came back to its place in the car of Ravana. Lakshmana, reminding himself of his essential nature as the ray beyond thought and speech from Mahavishnu, who could destroy all obstacles and all foes, healed himself of his wounds and became as strong as before. Meanwhile, Ravana, endowed with splendor, came out of his womb, bent his bow, and troubled the monkeys with his keen arrows. Raghava, seeing the monkey heroes being slain and the army being scattered in all directions, hastened towards Ravana. Then Hanuman bowed low before him and said, Lord, be seated on my back and do battle with the Rakshasas, even as Mahavishnu, bestriding Garuda the mighty, slew the wicked Asuras. Raghuvira complied with his prayer and, beside himself with wrath at seeing Ravana proudly seated in his car, he was like Mahavishnu who, in the far past, rushed upon Mahabali to slay him. He bent his mighty bow, twanged it like thunder, and drew near Ravana and told him in a majestic tone, Best and bravest of Rakshasas, stay, stay, flee not. You carried away my beloved wife and so incurred my wrath. Where can you go and how can you escape? You may seek refuge with Indra, Yama, Surya, Brahma, Agni, or Shankara. You may run and hide yourself in the 10 quarters, but having come within my ken, you cannot escape with your life. Here comes my brother who is death to you and all your men. Did you try to kill him with your Shakti? Do not gloat because you struck him down and made him senseless. If you think Lakshmana could not touch me, how could you? Do you know that with these very weapons I destroyed within a muhurta the 14,000 Rakshasa heroes that dwelt in Janasthan beside Kara, Dushana and Trishnas? Hearing this, the ruler of Lanka struck the mighty Anjaneya with his keen arrows flaming like the fire of universal destruction. The monkey that had struck him down was now coming back with Rama on his back. This maddened him and he pierced Maruti again and again, but only heightened his natural luster. Seeing the son of Vayu thus wounded all over by Ravana, Rama was enraged and with his terrible arrows he destroyed the car of Ravana, its wheels, its flags and banners, the umbrella, the weapons in it and the driver. Like Indra's thunderbolt shattering Mount Meru, the arrows shot by Raghunatha struck the broad and handsome chest of Ravana. Neither Vajra nor the thunderbolt could hurt Ravana till then. But now, sorely afflicted by Rama's arrow, he shook fearfully and his bow slipped from his hand. Finding that he was fainting away, Rama aimed a half-moon shaft at him and severed his lofty crown, shining like the sun. Like a fangless serpent or spent fire, his bow flung aside, dull and lusterless like the sun without its rays, deprived of the grace of the goddess of fortune, stood there the Rakshasa king, piteous to see with his crown shattered to pieces. And unto him spoke Sri Rama, Ravana, you have done deeds today of valor impossible for others. You have struck down countless monkey heroes and also my brother. I fear that you are now too tired to wield your weapons and continue to fight. I shall let you go now. I shall not take your life because I do not want the infamy of slaying one who is weary after a long hard fight. You need not feel, how shall I turn my back to the enemy? I consent and give you leave to go. Fighter, false and foul, all your magic arts could not prevail against me that fight fair. You are now fatigued after long fighting. Go back to Lanka, rest a while and come tomorrow with another car and weapons. Ravana listened. Without pride or joy, his bow broken, his horses and driver slain, his body riddled with arrows and his crown shattered, he entered Lanka in great haste. When Ravana of matchless might, the terror of gods and asuras retired from the field, Devas and Danavas rejoiced and celebrated the event. Then from Lakshmana and the monkeys, Rama removed the arrows that had pierced them, caused their wounds to be healed, and led his forces to another spot. When they beheld the 10-headed Ravana, the eternal foe of the gods, put to rout, gods, asuras, elementals, rulers of the quarters, creatures of the deep, sages, Uragas, and the denizens of the earth cast away their fear and exclaimed with joy. Ravana, that monster of vice, has at last met defeat at the hands of Rama. Now the time draws near when he shall perish and we shall see our sorrows end. Mangalam Kushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.